Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for having me do this once again. The message today is going to be called Trust the Process. It originated a few years ago. It was actually the Philadelphia 76ers came up with it. They weren't doing too well, and so they just kept on saying, trust the process, trust the process. And then, like, as we, like, coach and stuff like that, we're constantly saying that to the kids. Just trust the process. And then in the mornings, we've been doing last week, and we were doing workouts, and one of the kids brought a verse, and it was 1 Corinthians 14:40, and it says, but all things should be done decently and in order. And that hit me pretty good. But we're going to, that's like the, that verse is like the main focus, but we're going to start in Romans 7 and read a few in there. Romans 7, verse 13. And I know you guys have heard this, but it's always good to go back to it. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means, it was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law. That is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me, within me. So let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for this time that we could have, the day that you've given us, the sunshine. And please be with us today. Please speak through me and let your words be said and not mine. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. So as we think about this phrase, like, trust the process, and you think everything that we do in life has some type of process. You get on the highway, you merge on. It's like a process. Can you imagine if, like, we were trying to get on the highway and then all of a sudden you had to, like, abruptly get on the highway? Or you had to get off the exit, like, gradually happens. Some things happen gradually. Some things do happen quicker than others. But you have to go through it. One of the teams that we coach is 13 and 14-year-old girls. That is by far the toughest team I've ever tried to coach. And they are constantly saying, we're doing this again. We're doing this again. Well, in the game, you weren't doing it right. So, yeah, we're doing it again. And when they're younger, they just don't understand, why are we doing this? Like, this, it's boring. And it's monotonous. And, you know, with our daily lives and stuff like that, what is something that we do that's monotonous? You know, are they all good things? Are they bad things? So for everything, there's a process. And with the tabernacle, in Exodus, we'll switch to Exodus real quick. I think it's 26. And then you write it down. Where they talk about the tabernacle. But they have very specific verse 5, we'll start in verse 5. 50 loops you shall make on the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make the edge of the curtain. That is the second set. And the loops shall be opposite one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and a couple curtains, and one to the other with clasps, so the tabernacle may be a single whole. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains shall you make, and the length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits. Can you imagine, like, hearing these instructions and just wondering, like, is that what we wanted, was like a place to worship God, and now you're making us do all these specific things? But they did it, and they followed what he was asking. They had different things in the tabernacle. They had certain ways they had to carry it. And it was all because of God's order, God's timing, God's divine planning. And he had rules, and if you broke the rules, they were punished. Verse 11, you shall make 50 clasps of bronze. You should put clasps into the loops and a couple the tent together, that it may be a single whole. And the part that remains, the curtain of the tent, and the half curtain that remains shall hung over the back of the tabernacle. So there he just gives over and over specifics of what needs to be done. Look at it in Romans 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. Have we ever done something stupid? And, like, you look back and you're like, that was pretty stupid. I should not have done that. How do we recover from that? Like, how is it? I know if anyone is, like, scanned social media lately, you will hear somebody else calling somebody else crazy. It's been, or you're insane. You'll see that constantly. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, right? When you're going through things and you fail or you stumble or you come up short and you learn from it, it's not necessarily the wrong thing. God is teaching you something. It's just, what are you looking for? There was this coach, I'm sorry for all the sports analogies, I'm very involved with sports, so a lot of whom will be sports related. There was a coach, it was Texas Tech coach of basketball. He had a very, very young team, and they were predicted to be doing very well, but they lost 3 games in a row against teams that they probably could have beat. So a reporter is questioning him, and he says, "Coach, well, what do you do now? Like, what do you do different now that, like, your team has lost 3 in a row and you were supposed to win?" And so he's like, "What do we do now with this young team?" He goes, "Well," he's like, we wake up early in the morning, we go to class, we pay attention, we take our notes, we eat like a champ, 4 or 5 meals like a champion, we pay attention, we get in the workout room, we do our workout, we go back to class, we watch tape, we learn from the tape, we take hard coaching, we get back in the gym, we do our shots, and do your rest of the studies and get a good night's sleep. He's like, we do the same thing 365 days a year. He said we had 31 opportunities of games, but we do the same thing over and over and over, and the process will work. So in our life, if something's working, do we keep it? Or do we switch it around? If something's not working, do we change it? And then how do we know, like, when to change it? One thing he said was, in that little coaching thing, is he said you watch tape and you take hard coaching. You know, do we look at our life, and if someone comes up to us and says, "Hey, you might have made a mistake here," you know, can we take that? Or if we're looking at our own life and we see a mistake that we made, will we like embrace that and get ready to change? It's tough to look at yourself and be like, I probably shouldn't have done that. I could have been a little more humble there. Or, you know what, they were right. Everyone likes to hear, like, you were right. But how hard is it sometimes to tell someone, hey, I was wrong, you were right in this situation? When we do that, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh. You know, a lot of times when we're looking at it and we're too proud to admit our mistakes, we're looking at our flesh. We're not in the right spot in the frame of mind. If we're always looking at God and godly things and putting our trust in God, we're going through these things for a reason. I know probably everyone in here has a very hard time with something. They had a loss of life but those things, when you go through them, you're probably going to be the one to help somebody else with that. So everything is there for a reason. Choose the right view of God. You know, what is he trying to teach me here? What is it that he wants me to see? There was another sports analogy. When you do make a mistake, a lot of times I don't know if you guys know who Brett Favre is. Anyone know Brett Favre? He's a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, or was. And he used to throw the ball far, and everyone loved it, and then if they caught the ball. But this guy would throw interceptions like crazy, like to the other team. He would throw the ball to the other team. And then a lot of times, he would throw the ball to the other team, they would get the ball and run it back. A lot of times when he would go back in, the very first play he did again was that same one. And he would throw the ball long again. And being in that position, he just forgot about the pass. Quarterbacks have to forget very quickly when they make a mistake because they have to just go right back into it. But, you know, we've tried, we failed. Will we go back to it after we fail? If that's what the Lord wants you to do, you should go back and go again. I remember hearing, if you don't fail on a regular basis, you are not trying new things enough. Verse 15, Romans 7, verse 15, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Do we do things that we hate? Do we know, are we doing what's right? You know, it's pretty easy to fall into sin or to, even if you know it's wrong, sometimes you like do it anyway. Oh, did you hear about this guy? He's skipping church for no reason, you know? Very easy to spread rumors. You know, can you stop that rumor? I don't want to hear about it. Just verse 16. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. You know, we have to really rely on God for this, because we're in the world and we have to live in the world, but we've got to try to be a light in the world. We can't be of the world doing everything that the world's doing. When you're out there and in the world and you're doing things, you know, can somebody tell a difference about you? Is there something different where they know that you love God? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Sometimes it's nerve-wracking to go out in the world and be a little different. You know, have we ever, like, had, like, a
like a church shirt or, you know, with a cross on it. And we didn't want to wear it to a certain event just because we didn't want anyone to ask us questions. Or maybe we did something wrong that that group knew about. So, like, we're afraid to wear that shirt. No. Don't be afraid to wear God on your sleeve. And show him proudly. It says there, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy. And you are that temple. You know, I think of, like, God really has our back there. If we're doing God's stuff, God things, and we're running the race that we're supposed to, God's going to protect us. He is going to show us the way. He was, you know, those nerves sometimes, if you're going to tell someone about God and you're not sure you have the answer, he'll take that away, and he will protect you. Verse 18 on there, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. But be confident in the Lord. If you're trusting on yourself, it will be nerve-wracking. If you're putting your faith and trust in God, he's gonna take care of you. You gotta keep looking ahead and looking to God. For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. If you're relying on yourself, it's going to be difficult. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. You think of, if anyone's had a pet or a kid, and they do something wrong, you don't stop loving them. If we had a pet or you have like a little animal and they did something wrong, and every time they did something wrong, you got rid of it and got a new one, you would have an endless supply of pets and or kids if you did it with kids. Just because you mess up, it's okay. You get back into the Word, you merge back on, and you continue the course. James 4:3, James 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, ye yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God's looking for that self-denial we see in Romans 12, which Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's one of those verses that, or a couple of verses that should be on every Christian's heart all the time. I'll read it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When we're doing things and going about our day, how do we start? I know, was it the army always makes their bed first, the first thing in the day? And someone asked, why do you do that? Because I accomplished the first thing I set my mind to do that day. So it was like an easy thing to accomplish. recently, my daughter has been tired, and so when she gets out of the car to go to school, I drop her off at school, and I'll roll down the window, and I'll yell, "Win the day, Shai, win the day." And she laughs, but there's some honesty to that. You know, if you were depressed and you had a bad day yesterday, win today. In basketball, we always it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so there's, in a 32-minute game, there's somewhere around 70 possessions per team, something like that. And if you have more possessions than the other team, you have a good chance to win. So we always say one stop at a time, one stop at a time. And we say it constantly throughout the game, one stop, one stop. And you just take the one stop and you turn it into another stop. And you turn it into another stop. Like the little bits at a time and get you back into it. It's like having a gym membership. I don't know. I've had a gym membership for years, and I never go. It doesn't help. I have it, but it doesn't help. And I was reading this thing. You have all these grand plans. You know, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, you see everyone. The gyms are packed, right? And then as it like gets to the end of January, it's like back to its normal capacity. You know, however many people go, I wouldn't know. I'm not there. But if you do just something little every day, at the end of the year, you will have accomplished something. But if you do nothing, you have accomplished nothing. So a little gains are still gains. And if you fall back, you just go back and you win that next day. And it's tough to do because you get depressed. It's easy to get depressed if you messed up. And you read, and even Paul back then, he had struggles. And he's just, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And I do, you know, and I don't do the things I want to do. Like, why? And it happens all the time to us. So do that little thing. Come back every day. Start out right with the Lord every day. Verse 20, now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. You know, what is inside will come out. We always say what you do in practice will happen in a game. And I tell the players, you got to love practice. You got to learn to love practice. In our daily life, we try to break it up. To me, this is practice. And we're in here, and we're learning more about God, and we're trying to do the right thing. And church is about, you know, coming and worshiping God. We do get things out of it and we learn from it, but it's ultimately about bringing him praise and glory and the honor that's due him. When we go back out in the world and we have that game time situation, are we being the good examples? Are we doing little bit of gains here and there? Verse 21, so I find it to be law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever done like a church project or something. It seems like trials come up quick when a church project goes on. I know like every time when we do VBS, there's always random stuff going on. Flat tires, cars not working, keys missing. There's all sorts of things. Satan doesn't like that stuff. He doesn't like us furthering the gospel. If things are starting to go wrong, you're probably doing something right. I know it sounds funny, but and when you're going through things too, the easy path normally isn't the best path. It's normally the hardest or a harder one that it's going to be. But you just keep staying the course.
You know, the Lord puts things in front of us that, I mean, we don't always understand, we don't always see why he's doing something. But we have to trust in him. We think of that, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is Elijah and Elisha. And it's 2 Kings 2, if you want to turn there. And we'll read through real quickly some of the things. Elijah 2. 2 Kings 2. We'll just start in verse 1. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, Do you know that day, that today the Lord will take away your master from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." He didn't want to hear about it. Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." I would imagine at this time, like, Elisha's starting to get annoyed. They "I know. Leave me alone about it. I know what's going to happen." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. That's Elisha's showing real persistence there. And he's continuing to work for the Lord. He wants to, this is the guy he looks up to, and he's really, like, denying himself and following. Verse of man. Oh, so 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up, struck the water, and the water parted to one side and the other, and the two of them could go over dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "What I shall do for you before I am taken from you?" And Elisha, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit. And as you have asked a hard thing, if you see me as I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." So after all his persistence in following him, and other people telling him, "Hey, this isn't going to end well for you. You know, you should kind of back off." And then he just kept on going and going. And then he still had to watch at the end and be faithful. And as they still went on and talked, and behold, the chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen." And he saw him no more. If you go on and read, the 50 men wanted to go look for Elijah after. And Elisha's like, "No, he's not there." And they're like, "Come on, we got to go look." And he's, "No, he's not there." And then so finally, Elisha let them go. He's like, "Fine, go ahead." They looked for 3 days and they did not find him. Those men, sometimes we have to learn by doing it ourselves. You know, sometimes that's the hard way to learn things. But those 50 men went out, looked for him, obviously didn't find him. But they thought they were doing what was right, even though they didn't listen to Elijah, but he knew. But we go out, we do these things, and we do them unto the Lord, and things will go well. In Romans 8 now, verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, that just, what are we putting in to our eyes and ears, and what goes in will come out. That saying, you are what you eat. But, you know, what goes in? If you're constantly feeding yourself bad things, you're watching, you know, bad movies, and you're constantly seeing that stuff over and over, and you're reading nothing but bad things over and over, and negative things, you're going to start to, like, feel that. If you're putting your eyes on God, and you're reading Scripture, you're listening to messages, you're putting in good things, you are going to start to, that's what will be inside. A friend of mine did the apple experiment. She took an apple, she cut it in half, and she put it in she put them both in a jar, and she talked only good things to one half of the apple. She did not believe this would work, and that's why she did it. But she was like, "Oh, you're a beautiful apple," and all this other stuff. And then to the other apple, she's like, "You're an ugly apple. You taste bad." And she did this experiment for like a month, and it was the half the apple she said good to, like it was still going bad, but not as bad as the other one. Very odd, I know, but she did the experiment. So you got to really keep up the encouraging thoughts and not the negative thoughts. If you look at the bright side, you know, if you're getting in trouble, or something's happening and you want to pray, and you pray to God, please get me out of this situation, right? That's the normal response. Please get me out of this, instead of what can I get out of this situation? God, teach me what I'm getting out of this situation, instead of God, get me out of this situation. You know, can you change your mindset to that, to God's purpose for everything? Romans 8, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Jump down to Romans 8, 24, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to the purpose. Right there, that's a very popular verse, Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. You know, sometimes when you're struggling, it is tough to see the good. But he's there. He has that purpose. He's putting you, sometimes it may be the same struggle over and over, but there's something there for it. I remember when I was a kid, I did not understand why God would make bees. They sting you. I just didn't understand that at all.
And then, but now there's like a bee shortage, right? They're not going to pollinate enough. We don't have enough bees. Simple little things. You know, God is in everything. Even if we don't see it right away, it's there. He's working.
He has an ultimate plan. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Those times that we're down, we think the world's against us. Even if we think that like other church members are against us and we're down and we're sitting on our pity bench, you know, God's there. He has his purpose. So the challenge of this is to really trust the process of God's process. Not our process, not the world's process, not the 76ers process. But you stay faithful. You make those little gains in the Lord each day. You continue in his thinking about him, praising him, praying, have that conversation with him. Have a real relationship with God, and things that you thought were harder might actually start to become a lot easier because you're not looking at, how am I going to get out of this? It's, God, what is it that you want me to learn from this?
So it's a challenge for me. Hopefully that is a little bit of a challenge for you guys. But try to do the things that you want to do, not the things you don't want to do. And let the things that you want to do be of God. So let's just pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, all that you've done for us. We thank you for this day that we can have. Thank you for the lessons that you've taught us in the past and that you are going to teach us in the future.
Please help that we are there, willing and ready to learn the lessons that you have for us,
and please help that we keep you in our sights and that we know it's coming from you, the lessons to be learned, and that we may learn from even our trials and to put more trust in you in those times. In which Christ we pray.